Hello, and good day to you from episode 47 of our podcast series, Project Breakaway, a metaphorical and literal time in the day when we here at Predator Cycling take some time away from working in the back shop to come and share with our listeners what we're doing, how we're doing it, what it takes to do it, our ideas, our innovative success stories, and even our missteps and failures. If you find yourself with an interest in bicycles, composite manufacturing, out-of-the-box design, or even curiosities beyond, I encourage you to stick with us, settle in, and learn a little. I'm Courtney B., co-owner and project manager of Predator Cycling, and I'm here with my partner, Aram Goganian, the other co-owner, CEO, lead designer and engineer, and storybook trail dad.
What?
So we went hiking on the storybook trail.
I have the hardest time saying that. Storybook trail.
So most of the state parks here in Tennessee offer like a little half mile trail for children. And there's like a story along the way that you read.
Yeah. And in most of them, they're complete.
Unfortunately, our trail apparently was under construction. And about 5 pages in, the story ended.
Yeah, it was like towards the end.
So I just made up the ending. What I assumed that the author would like.
That Courtney's version of the author would like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun though. The boys had a good time. And there's a little.
And that trail's more your speed, a half mile flat trail, because you had some knee issues going into that.
Yeah, I know. I guess I'm getting old. I came out of the car and I don't know what I did. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like my knee just hurts. But yeah, so. But it was good. Boys had fun.
Yep.
We got to go to the playground afterwards and run around and play.
Mm-hmm.
So, all good.
Okay. And also, the Grammys were last night, apparently.
What are the Grammys?
The Music Awards.
Oh.
So, when I was a kid, I knew when all these awards shows were, and I'd sat in front of the TV and watch them. Now, it's like I don't know what exists beyond Nickelodeon and PBS Kids. And weird YouTube videos of other children unboxing toys.
Well, I mean, the concept that like we actually haven't watched, I mean, other than like the occasional football game, like we don't watch a lot of live TV.
No.
I mean, if I'm watching bike races, I'm usually watching recaps or unless it's the tour is on. But other than that, it's not a whole lot of live TV we watch.
No. Anyways. But anyway, music is a huge part of sports. It's in arenas.
This is true.
Halftime shows next week. Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Super Bowl's next
Rihanna
week.
Rihanna will be killing it at the halftime show.
Oh, is she doing the halftime show?
She is. The Chiefs versus the Eagles. Should have been the Bengals.
Should have been.
But I just couldn't put it together. I guess I'll be rooting for the Eagles just in solidarity. I mean, I don't care either, but I just don't want the Chiefs to win now.
There you go.
So, and then music exists in, you know, your own personal training.
Yeah.
You usually got the pods in.
This is true.
Well, when you were training, they were probably not pods. They were like my first Sony foam.
No, I had the little tiny iPod shuffle thing that was like a little clip. A little clip one.
So you were training like that was like the end of college. It was like 2008.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I was racing shuffle? Juniors. Yeah, I was right. I mean, I started 2007? Racing in 98.
Okay, well, that's when you had your Walkman.
I mean, I didn't have anything then. I had a little boombox that my sister and I shared. That's
my
about all we
boom
had.
Boombox.
Yeah, we had a little Sony boombox. It had like a tape player and a CD player. It was pretty cool.
Can you imagine just today kids with an iPod shuffle? No screen? Like the original one?
Well, the original had a screen. But it was just like a black interface. The original iPod, my sister had one.
The one I thought it just had like a button and no screen, and you just had to guess.
Those are the shuffles. The shuffles.
Oh, that's
yes.
what I had. That's and what you've I had. Seen me in the car radio, like the next. That was me in the gym.
It's annoying. It's annoying.
And then I finally like upgraded.
I had a friend in high school that did that. Drove me crazy. Yeah. Couldn't listen to a commercial, so you'd switch the channels.
Yeah, that's me. Anyway, moving on. So Lizzo, my girl, she won Album of the Year last night.
Oh, yeah? Good.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of her, even though I've never listened to the entire album. I did watch her documentary on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, you told me about it.
And
she seems like a very interesting person.
I like her style.
Cool.
And anyway, so if I was going to jump on the Ergo bike right now, I'd probably turn that on. Huh. Listen to some Lizzo. So that's me. What would you listen? Do you even know current music? What did you listen?
I do not know current music.
So what did you listen to back in the day when you were training?
I was actually, so my sister used to make me little mixes.
That's sad.
So I was a lot of like
Zed Leflin. I love Zed Leflin. Such a great training.
AC/DC, Queen.
Okay, I had Queen.
The other one, those are kind of like my go-tos.
You needed just like the ruckus, like screaming. Yeah.
No, I don't know, screaming, but ruckus for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that's mostly what I listen to.
You were listening to the late 90s, early 2000s, like boppy Backstreet Boys.
No, I mean, I think I had an NSYNC CD. Like, but yeah. I think that's about it. It was a lot of my sister used to make, she had a tape for me and it was good. I had a little race one that she used to do and I did it with all my like efforts and stuff. It was all timed out.
Mm.
And then it used to end with We Are the Champions. Like, cause of course, like right before you go off to the start line.
That reminds me of, I think circa 1996, when my only year of Biddy basketball, fourth grade, Jock Jams. Do you remember Jock Jams?
No, what is that?
It was the CD. It was like the...
I have no idea what this is.
I play sports in elementary school. It was what you're talking about. It was like a shuffle mix on a CD and it ended with We Are the Champions.
Oh, that's good. I had it was and clean, it right? As the with bicycle? The,
it started with the, let's get ready to rumble. Doo, oh, doo,
that's
doo,
funny.
Doo, 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 doo.
Yeah.
You didn't have Jock Jams?
No, I don't know what that is.
The CD. I want to find it now.
Yeah, we should get it.
I'm down.
Let's do it. Let's do this.
Yeah, that's our new.
That's our new wake up morning. Let's get the kids up. Find a boombox.
Listen,
and
they don't need
out.
Any more energy than they already have. Okay, so that's you back in the day.
Yeah.
You and your AC/DC.
Yeah.
And your Zed Leplin. So speaking of back in the day.
Yeah.
I've been trying to do. Throwback Thursday posts on Instagram. For an entire 2 weeks. That's
whatever.
It.
I've seen a couple of the pictures that you put together for them.
Anyway, last week I posted some pictures that were all the way from 2010.
Yeah.
So now that's 13 years ago. Yeah. Like I did math.
What?
Simple math. You had your Team Predator, not Team Predator Carbon Repair, but just like Team Predator,
it was
your first
our
one.
Our first real team that we put together.
And the picture I posted was specifically of, I guess you had like four bikes that you made, four or five bikes.
Yeah.
And those were like what, your aluminum carbon hybrid bikes?
Yeah, that was our like, it was not our, well, it wasn't our first, but it was like one of the first generations of it. It was a really cool bike. It was a very, it was an aluminum, it was all aluminum joints that were welded together and then bonded in carbon tubing. So it was the main triangle was all carbon and the seat stays were carbon. And then the bottom drivetrain was all aluminum.
And what was it? It was like a road team, crit team. How big was your team? It was like a local team.
It was a bunch of friends. It was just basically it was four of us. That's it. Three of us, really, that
but
actually
how many
raced.
People do you need on a team?
I mean, technically, usually seven or eight, but like we just did local rides and local stuff. It was local crits is all we did. Mm. It was like a group of us. It was that race.
I'm sorry. I should probably know this after being married to you for so long. But is it it's a team and there's like a point system on placement? But is it basically whoever crosses the line first?
Well, there's certain series have points and then there's like the national like different series nationally that
have
races.
But if you're like
races.
Constantly like on the team, but you like worked really hard for the team, but you always come in last, do you get points?
No.
You're just like
a guy on
a team.
No, it's individual. It's individual or point or team based.
Oh.
But yeah, it's not like in other sports, you have like assists and things like that. No, we don't have that kind of metrics, really.
Because in like golf, there are six girls on a team, but they only count the four lowest scores. But still, your score, then they are kind of ranked you. Like, they only counted the four lowest scores for the tournament you were in. But like, you're still your score, like, counted personally, like, at least in high school.
No, I mean, yes, you got points on USA Cycling. Had a point system on your points and category as you as an individual. And then there was like there is a point standings for teams in different categories, but we didn't really, that was nothing that we actually competed in or did. Like we just went and did group rides, had some fun, you know, tried to win the local sprints on the group rides and then went out to the local crits and did some crits.
I didn't actually want to talk about point systems.
Oh yeah.
I wanted to talk about, the bike.
Yeah, it was a cool bike.
You made the bikes?
Yeah, we made the bikes.
You made the bars?
We did not make the bars. That was
stock bars?
They were, at the time, it was pretty cool. It was FSA's, it's called FSA Plasma, which was one of their one-piece bar systems. It's one of the things that launched me down the path of actually, like, the majors and stuff, because it was a one-piece system. And it was cool because it was a rare at the time. It was a 0-degree stem. So it means that the stem kind of went up a little bit. So they had really short head tubes. I mean, they were crit bikes.
So it was 0 degrees. Wouldn't it just go out flat?
So yeah, if the head tube is, you know, straight, it's completely perpendicular to the head tube. So usually it's a -8 degree. So that the bar, like the stem, goes kind of flat to the ground ish. But a 0 actually gives you some vertical tilt. So it was really cool. So the bikes were really short head tubes, really stiff bikes. I mean, they were fast. They were fast crit bikes.
Did you win?
I think we got a couple of like top threes and some of the crits and stuff, top fives. I know the other Autumn, he did pretty good in the CBR series.
What about
he
this arm? There.
This arm didn't do anything. He won some local group rides, some local group sprints. I made the bike. We won some sprints. We won a lot of Lagrange sprints. There was a Nichols ride, and I think I won that sprint every
time.
Is
that a mountain? Is that a street? Is that a person? Is that Nick?
Excuse me. It's a mount. It's a climb, and then at the end of the climb, you kind of regroup, and then there's like a downhill down Sepulveda. And there's this like really long sprint finish. That's fun. It's like a slight 1% downhill sprint. So it's just super fast.
And you're talking like, what'd you say, 2007, 2008, 2009? I wouldn't do it in 2023 down those streets you just named.
Oh, it was not a good street to come down then.
But back then there was less traffic. Now I would never do that.
No, it was still traffic and potholes, and there was construction. So there's construction barriers all down the sides. But it was all right because I had like literally, I had, well, CJ worked with me then, and CJ was there with me always. And me and CJ like owned that thing. And then Lagrange ended up actually bringing out a whole bunch of heavy hitters to try and beat us in that sprint. And so I called Autumn and I was like, dude, you got to help me. So, and he's a powerhouse. So he would just literally go to the front, just drill it. And we would just single file that thing. And I think I only lost that sprint like a handful of times during that team. Like, I mean, I didn't lose that sprint very often, if ever.
Okay. Well, so you made the bikes, didn't make the bar. So
there's actually a YouTube video of that sprint. Of how we do that sprint on YouTube, one of our old videos, like 13-year-old video. But there's a video of the lead out, CJ leading it out. I think Autumn might be in it. I don't know if Autumn's in it or not. But anyways, we're in the kit. We're rocking it. Anyways.
So, and then after that, you had another, you had the team, Predator Team Carbon Repair.
Yeah.
Which those were just all carbon repair bikes. But
yeah.
In the post that I made this past Thursday, I was like, oh, you know, our team in LA and, you know, so sunny and, you know, maybe a team in Nashville. But like, A, we don't have time for that. And B, but like the weather is pretty horrible here. Well, I mean, it gets better.
Bad. Yeah.
But then it gets really, really hot. And I don't know if you'd want to ride. But yeah. Let's say that you had a dream Nashville team here. The Mount Juliet. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you call it. Well, I'd be Predator. Team Predator.
Yeah.
Anyway, dream bikes. How?
I mean,
the RF20 wouldn't be a bike for that, would it?
Yeah.
A race bike?
Totally.
Okay, I mean, so you totally take work. The RF20 and then talk about you know, the build that you would do for a team and the bars and whatnot.
Yeah, so I mean, it would probably go back to like what we originally did. We talked about like on my dream build, to be honest, I'd do the RF20. Obviously I would do the pilot, the Road Major cockpit. And then I think I would probably go with like some deep dish Zip 808 setup.
Every time you say deep dish, I still think Pizza Hut, but go on.
Ooh, we should get pizza tonight.
Sponsor.
Yeah, sponsor.
There was a team in Nashville that sponsored. What was it by? A chicken place?
It was like a hot chicken place or something. It was something
the
funny.
The greatest sponsorship ever.
Yeah, it sounded like a really good sponsor. I don't remember what it was.
It's like Team Hot Chicken or something like that.
Yeah, I was like, I don't remember what it was now, but it was really good. It was a good sponsor. Yeah, I would probably do that. I would, you know, either go with some Shimano or SRAM group set. Keep it pretty basic, but just fast, reliable setup. And if you're doing crits, I mean, I don't know. I'd look at doing like a one by now, but
a what?
A single front chainring, not having multiple chainrings in the front.
Chainring.
The front gears.
Yeah.
Like on your old bike, your bike you have now, it has the three gears in the front. Most road bikes have two, but now some of them are doing one.
Again, you never told me to use all my gears.
Yeah, I told you only.
Is that the left hand? Is that the left hand that does the front?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what those do.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's probably what I would do if you're doing crits and stuff. There's some crit racing out here, some road racing, but
And then there's the speedway. Is that considered track?
It's not a track. It's,
you
it's
wouldn't
a, it's
ride
a
track circuit. Bars on that?
No. You'd run a road bike, a standard road bike.
Okay.
They have done track races on speedways before, but to be honest,
it's too long to actually like need a track bike.
No, you could do it. You could do it on a track bike, but it's just a different dynamic. Mm. It's just a whole different.
Well, isn't the nearest track here in Atlanta to Nashville?
I believe it is. I mean, I think that would be the closest track.
Anyway, okay, so talk about the bars you would use would be your road majors.
Yeah,
and
for
then
sure.
For you're actually in the process of making some road pilots, which are the track bars right now.
Yeah, we got a couple in the works right now. As soon as I'm done with those, I have a road one and got some aero bars too.
So our biggest question for those track bars that you're working on right now, I think, was like sizing.
Yeah, sizing is always a tricky one on those bars. Because it's such a non-standard cockpit, because of the way that stem, it kind of makes that point at the top of the bars, like in the middle where that stem system joins, and it kind of spikes back. Because of that, it gives you this misleading idea of where the bar connection point is. So like, you know, you need a 110 stem, but it looks like it's a 120, 130 stem. So it's a little misleading. And then because of the way we did those tops on the bars, the drops are very much, they're not quite standard. They're not in the place you normally think of as the drop. So, it gets a little tricky to size them up sometimes. But yeah, that's the number one question.
So I was eavesdropping on, so if you ever have a need or a question about bars, your initial step is basically to have a conversation with RM, a video conference.
Yeah.
And which many listeners may or may not know is I'm usually on the side eavesdropping. not eavesdropping. True. I literally sit across from him. So anyway, I was listening and I was listening to you basically tell a future customer or a potential future customer about like the uniqueness of the pilot bars.
Yep.
Basically, they were like, well, you know, this person does a lot of bars and testing, and like, what makes your pilots different? Like, how is your testing? Because they were talking about how they get these bars and they're not actually like computer software tested.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
just like personally yeah. tested. And then they're like, ah, we don't like these.
Right. So, like, I mean, the thing with us is that, you know, there's a lot of different things. I mean, the conversation you're referring to is the pilots. And in the pilots are very unique system. Well, I guess it's all our bars. You know, our bars are not designed, and none of the equipment that we design is meant to be used in a single static situation. So what I mean by that is like, you know, this quote unquote, like race position, the perfect position, and designed around it. They're actually not designed like that. They're designed to have multiple holding positions, multiple places to grab the bars, and thinking about the overall efficiency of a rider. So like on the pilots, you know, it is a race specific bar because it's, you know, most people don't ride track casually to not race. Like most people race track, even
you
if
mean
it's practice.
Race to race.
Yeah. You race. Yes. Race to
like
race
professionally,
but not even professionally. Like if you're just like a local Joe Schmo riding the track, I mean, like, you know, like I would be now, I mean, I would still practice, do a practice run, and then, you know, practice racing, and I'm still racing. So, like, the idea being that there's positions to hold on the bars for different scenarios. So, like, if you're trying to break away off the front or be as aero as possible to get, like, maximum top speed, you know, it has a position for that, you know, that fake kind of road hood tops. You know, if you're out of the saddle sprinting, it has two really good spots to hold in the drops, for different types of positions. If you're riding relief, you know, there's actually sections that are designed to be able to ride relief and, you know, open up your back and take a breather and, you know, just catch your breath and stability. There's spots that are designed specifically for Madison exchanges. You know, there's all these types of, different parts of the bar that are designed to be used the way you ride it and race it.
Where's the cup holder?
There's no cup holder. There's no cup holder on track bikes. But
no, on the bar.
There's none. We tried to make one for our Starbucks coffees back in the day so that we could put our bars on it. I made some prototypes, but I never finished them. I always thought it'd be hilarious to have a little cup holder on the front of your bike.
You don't put like a computer on a track bar, right?
You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to in racing to have a computer on the front of your bars. You can have we make a computer mount that goes behind your seat.
Like a phone mount?
Phone mount, yeah, no. So you can,
Watch your dead Lapland videos.
Yeah, right, or your Grammys. But no, you cannot. Anyways, so yes, that was the conversation. It was kind of around that idea of like, you know, because we're not statically testing things in a single situation, we're testing in a much more dynamic manner where we're simulating multiple positions and actual event type scenarios to figure out the optimal bar system. It's very different. And on the track bars themselves, the pilots, you know, we're really looking at the cockpit itself, the hand position points, what the bar would be. We kind of leave that relatively stock. Like, we don't really change that ever. Unless there's a really big need for it, we can. But it's really the customization is on the stem angle, size, length, connection points, that kind of stuff.
Cool. So,
yeah, it's a cool, it's a really cool system.
And yeah. And I think if you're actually like genuinely interested in a bar cockpit system, road or pilot, definitely hit up RM for a phone call, because he will explain every single thing about it to you.
Yeah, well, I mean, we do design, manufacture, test everything, all right. of it.
So if you have like special needs, like, he's the guy who's gonna design it and make it and cover it all in the entire process with you.
Yeah, it's actually interesting because like one of the people that we've spoken to recently have an issue with of how they hold the bars, and it was interesting like how the problems that they were facing with their bar system that they have now and the solutions they're looking for. So it was cool. It was interesting to see what people are using and what they need, and you know, everyone's a little unique, so
everyone's a little different.
Everyone is.
And Lizzo would say that's what makes you beautiful.
That's nice.
So anything else to mention before I wrap it up?
I don't think so. I mean, that was, yeah. Good throwback Thursday.
I have some things to mention.
Oh, what do we have to mention?
On the last podcast, we talked about your participation in the NVIDIA Omniverse live stream.
Yes.
We are getting ready to send out our weekly, I'm not going to say weekly, our sometimes weekly newsletter. this
mostly
week.
Mostly monthly.
And there will definitely be a link to the recording from the live stream.
Cool.
And then there will also be a link to last month's Bike Groomer podcast that you did as well. So in case people didn't take initiative to like search for it,
yeah,
I'm gifting you the link.
Cool.
So those will be a bit available for you to check out if you are on our newsletter list. If you're not, go to predatorcycling.com and hit the little newsletter button.
Yeah, there's one thing in the bottom of the footer. There's one and there's
sign
one.
Sign up. And you will get my weekly, not so weekly newsletters. also next week, we will be heading to the Music City Center here in Nashville, mm-hmm. courtesy of our friends at Lenovo, to check out the 3D Experience World Conference.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be cool. I'm excited for that.
I know you're excited for a conference.
Oh, yeah, because I love conferences.
You love conferences.
And it'll be a great conferences.
It'll be a great Valentine's Day date. I'm looking forward to
it. Yeah, look at some SolidWorks and CATIA demos.
Yeah.
Nothing since Valentine's Day like modeling.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll have some free snacks. I don't know.
We'll see.
Anyway, it's at the Music City Center. So I do know that there are bars in every single direction from that place.
There are. You're right downtown Nashville, so that's cool.
So that'll be fun. Yep. And we'll see what's cooking in that end of the tech world.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
And then I assume that the following podcast will probably be a review of what we find there.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll find a lot of cool stuff. I mean, yeah. Plus it's a whole different one. I mean, I've not used a lot of that. A lot of the software there. So I'm very interested to see kind of what it is. Play around with SolidWorks a little bit, but not that much. So it should be interesting. And yeah. I'd love to see some demos of CATIA.
You love demos.
I want to see some CATIA demos.
Yep.
That would be cool.
Okay.
I wonder if they have some composite simulation demos. Ooh, that'd be cool.
I don't know. I have a feeling we're going to come back with a lot of cards. Oh, they don't do that anymore. They scan batches.
No, we're not. If you knew how much a seat of CATIA was, you'd know that we're not going to come back with anything.
Or free sponsorship. Anyway, let's wrap it up. We thank you for choosing to take some time with us, and we look forward to future breakaways. Look for us on Instagram and LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and in person here in Tennessee. We ask our listeners to please share, like, and subscribe. We're available on all major streaming platforms. Thanks for listening. Have a good one, and find some time to break away.